In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys ask the question whether or not bear groups are relevant anymore. From our local clubs to the world at large, we discuss the impact bear groups have made and how changes in the community have affected them. COL 254 starts now. March 30th, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon. Everybody dance now.
Psst, Gary, that's your turn.
Oh, it's Gary. Hi.
No, she didn't. Ooh, girl.
Welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, Vintage Arena Length, episode number 254. And apparently, we weren't nowhere.
Nice. Anyways. Nice.
So that's yay. So I'm having a good beard day. I just shaved my head, trimmed my beard, and I'm just looking damn sexy. So let's get right to
you.
My Torn Death Knight, Wind Knight, is now legendary. Legendary cloak number 2 acquired.
Yay.
So I've got, well, now I have 3 Death Knights, but that's something else. But I did my major Lion's Death Knight, my Horde Death Knight, both have legendary cloaks. I got the cloak for my alliance 1 month ago, so that's been around for a while. But I just got the one for Wind Knight, which is great because my raiding team that I raid on Tuesdays with now gets a little bit of extra DPS, and I think I got a few upgrades. I'm actually feeling really good about that dude. Nice. And it's like I'm done with him. Now I need to like start working on some of my other ones. And on Friday, me and a couple of guys from my raid team took my warrior out to learn to tank, and it sounds like I was doing pretty good. So woo-hoo. I'm happy for that. And then over on another server, I've got a few other characters I'm working on. I actually moved to my Alliance Death Knight and my Alliance Warlock over there to kind of help to support the other teams I'm going to level. One of them is a Death Knight with the idea that once he gets up to 90 and is starting to get everything together, he will basically take over the Death Knight position on that server, and I'll move my original Alliance Death Knight back over to Drendon, where it was before. So cool. Yeah, so a lot of WoW this week, and one other thing, I kind of started a relationship.
What?
Wait, what? Yeah, although I'm not sure how this really is going to turn out. Because
don't start getting ahead of the game about the outcome. Just what's going on?
Well, here's why. You know, it's like it basically it's like, why am I doing this? Because previously he would frequently say, hey, I'll come over such and such a time. I'm like, great. He doesn't show.
Oh.
Or anything. So he's okay. No call, no show. And he's made me mad several times, and it's just, I don't know. And some things have changed, so hopefully things will be a little bit different than they were previously. And this is over the past few years, I believe. And just for some reason, he's like, he's really coming to me. It's like, look, I'm gonna do better now. when he was over 400 pounds. So he recently had a surgery for health reasons to help lose that weight. But he says it seems like he wants to commit to it more. And actually, you know, when he says he's coming over, he's going to be there. He's going to be coming over. And I just don't know how this all is going to happen. He's played with me before and I've gotten frustrated with him, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trying it out. And I'm being cautious, you could say, on that one. So, yeah. So I kind of have a boyfriend. Kind of. We're dating. I'm just setting it at that level right now.
Cool beans.
So that's
leave my it at week. That. All right.
So yeah, well, first thing, happy birthday, Rob and Terry. I don't know if they'll hear this or not. Today is actually their birthday. They've been a couple I've been friends with for years, and today's their birthday. Yay. And Gary knows who they are. But last night, they had a party, and it was a lot of fun. Oh, so much fun. A lot of people, a lot of food. Just good times hanging out and seeing people I haven't seen in a while. And it was a really, really great time. So I really enjoyed it. And thanks to Rob and Terry for hosting and getting me there and all that stuff. So it was a great, 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 great time. So, yay. And because they have cats, as you can hear, I am congested because either my allergy medication didn't work or it's run out of my system and now I'm all blah. So, yay.
Are you saying perhaps they have super pussies?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm allergic to cats too. It's like I love them to death because they're so cute and adorable and cuddly.
Yeah.
Unlike Sonnet. She Sonnet's just glared sweet. She just went, what? But they give me sneezes and the GIs. So.
Yeah.
That's
great. Well, at least
try to keep my nose runningness to a minimum.
Nice.
Strap that bitch down.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're better about it than someone I knew years ago who was an acquaintance who came over to the house I was sharing with a former roommate of mine who had a cat and never told me that they're allergic to cats. And about an hour into visiting, like the cat had come in and sat down and, you know, sat next to them and they pet the cat and like, so, you know.
Oh, God.
And then the cat leaves or whatever. And then like it's been about an hour or so. And I noticed that like their eyes are all red and puffy, like that, you know, they're like basically having a hive, you know, reaction breakout. And I was like, are you OK? And they're like, yeah, I'm just having an allergic reaction. And I'm like, to what? And they're like, I'm allergic to cats. And I just looked at them and I was like, what? And I actually kind of berated them. I was like, but when the cat came in, you petted the cat. Well, yeah. And I'm like looking at him and I'm like, why? Like, why would you do that? I was so dumbfounded. I'd never seen anybody do something like that in my life. I was like, okay, like I can understand maybe you're trying to like do an exposure thing, you know, how like over time you get better at it. Like maybe it'll help reduce your reaction rate, but that was just insane. And I was like, it was a woman and she's like, I think I'm going to have to leave. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, and if I were you, I might consider going to the ER. Because it's pretty bad. Like, she just, you know, her whole face just got super puffy. And, like, I was afraid, like, in another 20 minutes to half an hour, she wouldn't be able to see.
Wow.
Yeah, it was mine really, really bad.
Quite that bad.
Yeah, I'm not that bad either. It's just some sneezes, some scratchy eyes, but not big deal.
So needless to say, I thought that was the most insane, like, kind of interaction.
Well, there we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the call dropped.
For a second. Not too long.
Oh. It felt like 5 or 6 or something.
Well, something like that.
Oh, it was only like a half a second on my side. All of a sudden I heard silence, and then I heard you guys talking again about it dropping, and I was like, oh. So apparently what I had to say was not important.
That's yeah. Fine. Skype said no.
You didn't want you to talk about it.
Skype anyway, said Gary, no.
How has your week been going?
My week was interesting. My work week was very challenging and problematic. Well, because for those of you that are not necessarily aware, Microsoft made the announcement, I believe, last year that as of April 1st this year, they are no longer providing support to Windows XP as the operating system.
Finally. So
businesses have been like, well, some businesses have been scrambling, and others have been like trying to prepare in advance of that to move up to a new operating system. And so my company moved to Windows 7, which is fine. However, my desktop PC was still on Windows XP SP2, which was actually working just fine as far as I was concerned. Only they decided instead of just changing the OS that they would give me a new computer, which sounds good considering my computer was like 6 years old. So consequently, I got the new computer, but I had nothing but issues from the day they installed it, which was Wednesday, to the following Wednesday. So like I had a whole straight week of not really getting much done. Mind you, I had projects that were backing up and that were overdue. So last week was challenging because it wasn't until really the following Wednesday after they put it in that I was pretty much back online and working correctly with the software and everything that I needed. Yeah. So, and then I did something crazy because I worked a long day on Thursday from about 8 in the morning or so until 8 at night. And to help listeners who are not necessarily aware, I work from home. So, and because I'm salary, my schedule is mine, theoretically. So when I get the work done is when I get the work done. It's expected that I work normal daylight hours, but I have been known to do crazy things like I did this past week, which is I worked 12 hours straight, laid down to take a nap, and actually slept for 6 hours, got back up at 2 a.m, and then worked from 2 a.m. all the way through till 3:30 in the afternoon straight. And then was done for the week because I was like, I'm over this shit.
Wow.
But the project that was 4 days overdue finally got done and has been pushed out and that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm not working over the weekend. I got other things to take care of, which is that the run is now less than 2 weeks away. So. Yes, much excitement everywhere except for in my head. But anyways, no, it's all good. It's just that I get, you know, nervy at this time of year because I just want to make sure that everything's ready before people arrive. And you can't get everything done. If I did ever get everything accomplished and done that I wanted to, I would think something was wrong. So the clock is ticking, and I love how people keep reminding me, like people keep sending me personal messages. They're like, it's 14 days. It's 13 days. And I'm like, yes, I'm quite well aware. Like, and some people are like, I can't wait. I want it to be today. And I'm like, nope. We're not there yet.
It happens.
Well, right. And so, but the committee's been good. In fact, I have a committee meeting again this evening. So, and like I was supposed to meet with the hotel at the beginning of last week, and because of work, I just couldn't. So that waited until late Friday.
Wow.
And the hotel's been really, really good. But now we're in that phase of we need to get into the nitty gritty of like what, how many tables do you need in this room, and you know what kind of setup do you want, and for the banquet, you know, for you know linens and all sorts of centerpieces, all that kind of crud. We're getting out of the way now. So we're in the home stretch. So it'll be interesting to say the least. But it was a pretty good weekend overall, except for I don't know about you, Damon, but in my area, everyone here is super pissed at Mother Nature because apparently she still had another snow thing in her.
Yes, we didn't. Yeah, there are some pissed off people here too. It's been a little crazy. The whole. Oh, it's going to be 60 degrees. And now, oh, wait, no, wait, never mind. I'm going to go back to 30 and rain or snow on you. Yeah, sorry. Okay, Elsa, let it go.
Let it go. 70s, late 60s here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, shut up, Texas.
So, oh, well, here's the weird thing. If you're going to talk about weather, yesterday was weird because I went out, it was looking out my window my door window, and then I noticed there were these big balls of ice falling. Well, not big balls, about marble size maybe, balls of ice falling from the sky. And I looked at the weather and it said, sunny. Now, here's the thing is, about 15 minutes later, it was. There was this like isolated hailstorm or hail, just hail, probably not really much of a storm, but you know, I even went out and looked at my car after it was done to see if there was any damage or anything, but it was fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have never seen hail this big.
We had a weird like 36 hour cold spell that came through and took us from like the high 40s all the way down like into the low 30s, high 20s. And this morning I was waking up and looking at pictures online. People were posting on Facebook, for example, and people were like, spring my ass. And they were like showing pictures of like 6 inches of snow. I was like, "Ooh, there's some pissed off people up here."
Yes. People are pissed off at the weather. Yes.
So, and it was funny because a friend of mine who's coming up for the run from Florida said, so the snow's going to be done, right? And I said, I certainly hope so because I'm over it. I said, and this is the thing I don't know about in your area, Damon, but we up here especially have winter fatigue really bad right now.
Yeah.
I think it's just... I don't know. Like last I knew, we're still rated as the top city in the nation for snowfall. And I think we're just kind of like, we're done. We're done done. So yeah. I think we would like a really nice long spring.
I would love a really nice long spring, or at least a short spring followed by a nice summer.
Yeah, not really sure. So hopefully Mother Nature got some Premsin meds or something to kind of, you know, handle the whole cold flash, hot flash shit that's going on. And we'll be able to be a little better off.
Get your hormones, honey. Come on.
Oh, my.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Moving on. Okay, that play that we just can't hear. Weird. Ah. Yeah, Skype, we love you. Yeah. I'm not going to worry about it because it would be just too much of a bother. In any case, over in feedback, we're continuing the conversation we were having with Mark. Gary and I were having a mark on our Facebook page, page's message system. So nobody all saw it. But I do want to say, Mark, you said, Jeff, I think you're my brother from another mother. We share similar views and tastes. So I go slash cheer to that. Thanks, Mark.
Is that Mark is in On Fire 40?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
No, you just popped in and said the one thing, and then I said, by the way, I think that's Gary. Replied back. So.
Yeah, Facebook's being a little wonky. It's pissing me off because anytime someone says something on the COL page and I go in to like it or comment on it, it always takes the identity of the podcast.
There's a thing at the top to switch it.
Right, right. But Jeffrey, it says clearly at the top, you are viewing and answering like Gary. If you want to view or edit, you know, as COL, click here. And I'm like, well, I don't click there because it clearly is telling me I'm already me. Okay. So I don't know why it's doing that. It's being a bitch. Whatever. Oh, well.
Anywho.
I'm sure our listeners don't give a shit. Moving on.
All right, and also over in Google Plus, we were added. Justin Harris added us. So, Not much for written feedback or anything, and no new people in the Bear Underground group. Remember, you can pop over to bearunderground.net and join the Bear Underground group. And again, you can post anything there you want. It's not just about us posting things saying that the show's up. You can also comment on the show or even just have a discussion with the other fans of the show. So please pop over to bearunderground.net, the official Bear website of Cubs Out Loud. In fact, that's on at TBRU. Ian had a thing that he was playing while he was there, and one of them was me saying that.
Cool.
So apparently it's official. Oh, wait a minute. I just saw something. But first, let's quickly go on over to our Facebook likes that we're working on catching up on. Yeah. So thank you to Erpen Yaskara, Anthony Winniecki, Michael Asilio, Frank Kirshner, Tony Robbins, Gerald Zapp, Lee Moore, Mitch McGee, Jackie Walton, Rodney Luciano, Bill Chief, John Stockman, Matthew Simpson, David Rickley, and Michael Rocklin.
And then Anthony Milhorn, Calvin Hartman Stevens, Evert Asbridge, Steve Fran, John Cresswell, Michael Warwick, Mike Cienfuegos, Joshua Nathan, Colby Brown, Wellington Elliott, Danny Carpenter, Nathan Hill, Dap Cub Don, Larry Toothman, and Adam Borders.
Also, Keith Asbury, JT Eat, Candy Samples, David Wright, Denny Knight, Matthew Brent Bowling, EJ Noah, Michael Boswell, Mark Scott, two dumb first names, Joseph Reed, Michael Davari, John Bradford, Matt Breitenreicher, Patrick Kellogg, and TJ V-Bear.
Hi, TJ V.
Yeah, there's a couple names in that bunch that I know. So, yay!
Facebook
okay,
likes.
So, it's, all right. And thank you all for liking it. And again, you pop over to facebook.com/CubsOutLoud, and you can join us there. Feel free to mention us, like us, comment on any of our posts right through there. So we'd appreciate it. We got a new person that I need to put on the pedestal. So I know this is a surprise, but there's a reason, and it's because he almost made me cry. I was like this close to tears. And it's all a good thing. So I'm going to read a conversation that me and Russell Wolf had.
Aww.
He goes, so we were talking about other things because he's part of my WoW guild, and he's been a long time listener of the podcast. So we were talking about other things, but then Russell says, "Gah, Cubs Out Loud. I went from fanboy to being all up in this piece." I go, "Oh? Yeah, I mean, I was having a lot of issues with my ex back in 2007, 2010. I listened to the COL as a way of, well, being me. I wasn't allowed to be a bear or interact with them while I was with my ex. It was kind of abusive. I was under lock and key and pretty much made to be really skinny." I go, "Aw." He says, "I haven't really said much to you guys about it, but I kind of felt like over my iPod, you guys were friends I could relate to, and I didn't even know you guys. Added you guys on Facebook and learned that you played WoW," meaning me. "Actually started WoW partly because of you, but also my friend Mike. And now I'm in a Whiskers and Ale, which is one of my WoW guilds. I'm in the Bear community, etc. COL was good for me. It was more than just a podcast. Helped me discover who I was but anyway, off with the sappy shit." And I said, "You better move here. And the first thing you do is come give me a hug. I feel so good from hearing that." He says, "I've learned more about the Bear community from COL than I've learned even through my own experiences. more than I could have learned in a bar, more than I could have learned just trolling the internet. I learned how to be safe. I learned why bear culture is better than regular gay culture. The ins and outs, all the websites, all the cool stuff. I used to get so excited when you guys would talk about a new site or a new author or bear musician. I Google it immediately and read up on it for days until the next episode. And then I went on to check out Tim Cub's tastings and Beer Cub and all that other stuff. So there was a couple of other podcasts we were doing. Even followed JJ's Existential Gamer podcast for a while, discovered Nard and a few others. I met Ian Cullum too, from Bear Underground. And that was a big changing event for me.
Huh.
Well, met him by the internet, yet not in real life. LOL. But anyway, and yes, hugs are in order. So he thinks of the current cast of characters that Damon is a hoot and he likes Gary too. His personality was odd to me at first.
You ain't the first one.
So he gave me the whole spiel about that's why I've been so vocal and have been such a fanboy. You guys helped shape me.
Aww.
Oh, so
super awesome.
Yeah. So that's why I'm putting Russell on the pedestal. And I believe I actually told him I was going to do this too. Well, I didn't tell him I was going to put him on the pedestal, but I said, this is totally fodder for the show.
Nice.
So I wanted to do that. All right. So moving on. Time for a little topic. Damon, talk to us.
Okay, so the topic actually stemmed from a recent incident that happened with me. It's not a bad thing per se, but a friend of mine back in February invited me to go with him to the local bear group's potluck to see, one evening. And I was like, okay, cool, sounds like fun. I had intended to join the bear group when I first moved here, but never really got around to it. And I'll explain a little bit more later. But I was like, okay, no, cool. I'll go and hang out. And I knew the guy that the potluck, where it was going, where it was being held. So I was like, that's fine. Cool. So we went to the potluck and it was maybe 10, 15 members, maybe a little more than that. And they had a meeting, quote unquote, beforehand. They basically discussed when they're having their next meeting, what they're going to be doing. And then, probably a couple months out, like this meeting and the next meeting. And then, that was it. And, then they proceeded to have the potluck. There was a playroom. I'll leave it at that. But once they, once everything was done and everyone was, had food and it was a nice little social gathering get together. I left the group with my friend and I kind of asked them, do they do anything else? And he was like, well, no, this is really all they do. They just kind of do the potluck and then that's it. So it concerned me and it made me add a question because really, to me, this isn't necessarily a bear group as it is a group of guys that get together and eat a lot of food and have sex. Ultimately, it's a catered orgy in William's words, literally. And it just made me wonder, given this in this day and age, the relevance of bear groups for the sake of the community. Like, are they necessary anymore? Do we still need to do them? If so, I mean, and given now in the more social media outlet of the world, is there now an alternative? So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I presented it to you guys. I present this to you guys to kind of discuss. So have at it.
Well, I hope you discuss too.
Oh, well, I will, of course.
But. Well, here's my thoughts, my initial thoughts. I don't participate with bear groups. I actually have two in Austin. Mm. We have the Heart of Texas Bears and we have the Lone Star Bears. Lone Star, and it's kind of been a little bit of a segregation because of size.
Oh.
The Lone Star Bears were created by Rich and Peter, and they're big guys.
Uh-huh.
Very big guys. And adorable and nice guys and everything. And the Heart of Texas Bears actually are more skinnier. No, not so big. Still got, you know, the stocky things, so we're still in the bears, but just the other end of the spectrum.
Huh.
You know that scene in Bear City 2?
No.
Where they're at the pool and the muscle bears are on one side and the chubby bears on the other side. That's what I mean. That's kind of how I'm feeling about it. Although I don't think it's exclusively that, but that's my perception from it. No, I'm just not one. I go to social events and stuff and get bored and I go home. So I don't say that I'm necessarily antisocial, because, you know, if I have someone who I click with and we hang out, I'm pretty social, but I don't click with anybody. Mm. There's like hot bears and everything like that. When I go to a group, great. No, that's fine. But I get bored because these people are my people in the fact that they're husky, hairy, and homosexual. But they're not my people in many other ways. And I just get bored and go home. So, and it's probably partly because of my shy nature too. But so participating in groups is just not really hasn't really been my thing. I think from my experience with what I have done with groups is it's a great way for kind of organizing socialization.
Hmm.
Like, for example, just got an email from the Heart of Texas Bears with that Back to the Woods is back. Now it's co-hosted, but with the Houston Bears. And that's in October. It's a camping event. I've been to two of them. And it was all right. I don't remember. Oh, was it the second time or was it the first time? The second time. I got laid like twice. And it was okay. Kind of interesting. So I enjoyed myself at those times. But camping's not really my thing. Like, I had a tent. I don't know what happened to it. But so it's yeah. So there's that. So do we need groups? I kind of like the idea of that. What we're really talking about for bear groups is can really range. Like, you've got the movie bears groups, where really the focus on that is about going to movies. Maybe the whoever's leading it can get into like a premiere or a private screening or something like that. So there's plenty of things, plenty of organization things that can be fun. And going to see a movie with a whole bunch of bears, that's awesome. I want to do that. Although movie bears here hasn't really worked out very well for some reason. Especially considering we have the Alamo Draft House. I mean, for Christ's sakes, maybe it's just the timing or something. So, but these type of groups, like even if it ends up getting down to being these different types of groups, like there's the movie bears, there's the golf bears or something like that. I'm just throwing things out here. You know, maybe there's just kind of like one person organizes a certain type of event and moves on. The Heart of Texas Bears and the Lone Star Bears have been going on pretty well here, from my understanding. And it's really more of just it. I mean, I think the big thing is it's a social thing. It's either a night out of a bar, some fun things that they do. It's not really a club or anything. It's really just a way of organizing a get together of us bears. And I think that's pretty much the main thing. I mean, there's Heart of Texas Bears has the president and the financial officer and stuff like that. There may be some basic like overhead organization that needs to be done just to, you know, plan the events, make sure there's funds for the events and such like that, organizing fundraisers, that sort of thing. And it gives it a name. You know, so it's not like, hey, the Bears are going down to the Iron Bear for a night and they're going to have played bingo or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's things like that. I like them. And I think they're needed in some ways because it kind of gives that organization of, especially with new people, they come in and they're looking to see how to get together. Well, maybe it would be better to go to a North Country Bears game night in Minneapolis than it would be to go to Back to the Woods here in Texas. Yeah. And to a clothing optional campground and you know. Or maybe it's better to go to Back to Woods because then you can get laid. than the game night because it's more about sex or something. I don't know. But okay. I'm done ranting. I that was just a stream of consciousness there.
Huh. So yeah. Gary?
Well, my perspective is unique because my history is that I came into the bear community because of a bear organization. So I know that what I have to say is completely biased to my experiences. That said, though, I think it's an incredibly valid question. And when you brought it up a little while ago, I was completely supportive of let's have this discussion. And for those that are listening to the podcast, there is no way possible that we're going to cover all the different aspects and nuances of the answers that everybody has.
Yeah.
It's just the three of us having a discussion about it. We don't officially represent the bear community at large of the U.S. or the world or whatever.
Totality of the bear community.
Yeah. I will say this, having come into the bear community because of a bear organization, being very active in that organization for probably like, oh, good gravy, 15 years. Holding a leadership position within that organization for half that time, probably, and being president of that club for a couple of years. I think that there is a place, I think a club can hold a space and serve a purpose, but the question is incredibly valid because I think there are some dynamics at play that are affecting the bear community. Uh-huh. But it's not just the bear community. I think some of these dynamics are affecting a lot of things. To give you a parallel example, gay bars are not what gay bars used to be. And I think that there's a parallel experience between that and social organizations.
Yeah.
The purpose or function of such a group is really dependent on its members. And if the members are not as passionate or focused or interested or engaged, then everything dynamically changes. So I think that there is quite the possibility that in time, the bear community may still exist culturally in a lesser form than it does today. But I would not be surprised if bear clubs, quote unquote, really diminish. I know that they've been on the downside for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some clubs have been closing up shop. Some of it I've heard is drama, that the board doesn't get along, that the person who's in charge, you know, turned into a dictator or all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
Which is quite possible, but that's possible universally. Mm-hmm. You know, I think back to kind of a take a side turn for a moment, but it'll make sense. My grandparents were active in organizations when they were young, and those organizations really don't exist much anymore. So, for example, my maternal grandfather was a member of the Shriners. And so he was in the Zemzem Shriners, which is still active to this day, but nowhere near what it used to be. It's, I don't like saying this, but I think it's had its heyday, and it's on the decline, and its relevance is questionable by youth because they can't relate to it. They don't understand it. My father was a member of DMLA. My father's mother was a member of Amaranth, which was kind of like the Rainbow Coalition. And it was a sororital order of women who were active in the community that did things. But the thing is that they aged out, meaning like those organizations faded into the sunset because their demographic aged and newer things happened and society got more interconnected. And I think that's, to tie it back, what's happening now because of the internet drastically changing the face of socialization and because of apps and Facebook and all these other things, I definitively think that the social construct has really moved in a different direction, and therefore bear clubs may not really quite serve the same relevance that they used to, because now you can meet people without having to go to a meeting.
Yeah.
So to speak.
That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. Thank you. Was the whole idea of that social media and whatnot has kind of changed the dynamic. I just want to read really quickly. This is what I found on the River Bears, which is the group here in Cincinnati. This is their, I guess their mission, but this is how they define themselves. We're the River Bears, Inc. of Cincinnati, founded in April of 1992 for the purpose of providing recreational and social functions for bears, their friends, and the like-minded men who enjoy bear culture, and to publicize this element of the greater Cincinnati gay community, promoting its ideas and presence. So the reason I bring that up is because, honestly, and this is my personal opinion about this group, this particular group, one of the things that Gary kind of mentioned was that, you know, these groups kind of did things and were out in the community and were, you know, that's how people found bears, especially, you know, 10, 20 years ago. This is, wow, 20 years ago. Just realizing the organization was founded 20 years ago. But now this group basically meets at people's homes, our apartments, and that's, like my friend said, that's all they do. So they're not really out in the community representing the bear culture in the community. And that's my kind of issue with it. If you're going to be a bear club but you're not out in the gay community at large, what is your, you know, I think you should change your purpose, as it were. If you want to just be a social gathering group, then that's what you need to be. Go ahead.
No, I think you bring up a good valid point. In fact, while you were doing that, and I'm going to state this, just because Damon pulled them up and I'm about to read stuff from the club that I'm a member of doesn't mean that we're endorsing or picking on or any of these type of things. We're just using them as examples. So right. So like the Berg Bears has listed publicly that they are a nonprofit social group for bears and their admirers, created to both promote social recreational activities for its members, as well as charitable fundraising for the local community. They are based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but have members from surrounding states, along with an electronic membership that's worldwide. They think that having a local bear club is important. While the bear movement has grown enormously, there are still many gay men who do not see themselves or their attractions reflected in the general public's opinion of attractiveness. Bear clubs provide an alternative space, support structure, and friendship for these men. We are not out to set up some narrow definition of who or what is a bear. As a club, we try to plan weekly events, respond to the needs and interests of our members. And then they go on and explain a couple of things. And this is stuff that's been publicly known, like on their website for quite some time. They go on to explain the club is committed to provide social opportunities and fun for all the members. The word social does not imply sex, despite what some may assume a bear club is all about. Amen. However, in order for the executive board to provide these social activities, we must
have constructive feedback from the existing members. And then it goes on, if you're interested in joining, you know, so on and so forth. And there's a couple of questions that were taken from the Buffalo Bears, actually, which they put out long time ago, but we thought were really valid. And I'll go over them real quick. The first is the question, I went to one of your club's events, but why didn't anyone come talk to me? And the answer is, your feeling is not uncommon. Ask any of the members what they felt about prior to meeting existing club members. Here are some reasons why possibly no one talked to you. No one knew you. It takes a special motivation to go introduce yourself to a stranger. It's hard for you. It's harder for everyone else. It's much easier to converse with familiar faces than unfamiliar ones. People are busy catching up with friends and having fun. No one knew that you wanted to talk to anyone. No one was aware that you were too shy to say hello. You may have appeared unapproachable, quote unquote. Sometimes even very handsome men spend the evening in the corner because others get the feeling that they just want to be left alone, when the truth is they were dying to talk to anyone. Wow. And then it goes on to explain a next question. Can you give me some pointers for helping to get acquainted? And then it says, yes, here are some things to, for any such situation. Contact a member before coming and let them know that you plan to arrive. That way they can introduce you to others. Attend a general meeting before, get there a few minutes beforehand and introduce yourself to the board members. Be prepared for social situation. In other words, conversation is a two-way street. If you don't have anything to say, chances are people will lose interest quickly. Remember that others have had the same difficulty getting to know strangers, and the more familiar your face is, the easier it becomes. And bar and meeting nights can get crowded, and many of the people who come are not members of the club. Look for the faces of the executive board. These folks will be happy to get you acquainted with other club members.
Huh. I like that. So do they have you experienced that they've been pretty much keeping up with that?
I think it's valid, but when the Buffalo Bears came up with that and they posted it and the Berg Bears like took it and gave them credit for it, there's a lot of responsibility ownership in these statements. And I realize that some people might be like, wow, that seems kind of like abrupt or even harsh. But the reality is, you can't hold someone else accountable for your actions. So if you go anywhere and do anything, you know, you can't, and this isn't about the bear community. This is about anything. I mean, you could be heterosexual and go into, you know, a dance club and be like, nobody came and talked to me. Well, did you do anything to be engaging? Like, you know, if you think someone's just going to come talk to you because you're just standing there, well, that's not really how life works. Like, you need to participate. So these questions and answers were put out on purpose to kind of make sure that the individuals who are interested are aware of the fact that they too have to kind of be involved at some level. Yeah. I'm not saying that you have to be gregarious and outgoing, you know, and be in people's faces. But, you know, I think far too often the bear community overall has heard reflectively that it's cliquish. People don't, you know, are not easy to get along with. There's a lot of presumptions about whether or not you'll be accepted. Am I hairy enough? Am I big enough? Am I too skinny? Am I old enough? Am I too young? Like, I mean, just all these different dynamics. And I think the community has adapted over the past couple decades that it's, for the most part, and I can't speak for the entire nation, but I think for the US, for the most part, it's pretty inclusive. And you just kind of have to go and
yeah,
get involved.
This is true. And it's true. And, you know, you have, as I said, sometimes for me, I'm me being the shy guy. Sure, I'll go there. And I have talked to some of these people at the events, whether it's Lone Star or Heart of Texas Bear, whatever. And it's just when I go there again, they say hi and then they move on.
Mm.
And then I wallflower, yeah, get bored, and I go home.
Yeah.
That's a me thing. I suppose I just have a hard time in just general social situations and getting into it. And it's
like
some people might have that sort of issue.
Yeah. Kind of like what I get from some of the, you know, these little questions that Gary wrote or mentioned. I totally get that. And I trust me, because it does tend to happen both ways. And at the same time, it's not just responsibility, you know. Okay, so the organization, you know, for example, says, okay, come to one of our members, come to our general membership meetings, you know, introduce yourself to a familiar face that you've recognized on the from the website or whatever. And then, okay, that's it. You know, you've kind of done that. The then what becomes up to both sides of things. You know, if you're wanting someone who did become a member and be interested in your club, as it were, you're going to take some, not really special, but, you know, take some time and kind of try to get to know them and offer to invite them to events and things like that. And so they can then make the choice themselves on whether or not they want to go. Then the person who is then invited has to then make the choice of whether or not they want to continue this conversation or continue this membership or continue going down, I was going to say going down that path, but, you know, continue trying to make that possible. So, but if you don't and neither side kind of continues everything, yeah, it does kind of fall flat. But it's not really a problem. It's just something that tends to happen because, once again, it falls on the individual person. It's not, but it's not the organization's fault. And I don't want to use the word fault, but yeah.
Let me actually bring a couple things up. Let's actually talk about the groups that I've got here, because I think our groups here in Austin are actually very active. Mm-hmm. For example, the Heart of Texas Bears has monthly events. They have, like, just looking at April, they've got already got, and you can even just scroll down in their upcoming events list, and it just continues because they've got these monthly events, and it's they've got Bear Day Out breakfast at Austin Diner, Bear Coffee at Clutch, or Clutch at Ruta Maya. They've got Bears Night Out at Kirby Lane South. Mm-hmm. They've got Bears Day Out breakfast at the Bakehouse. They've got the monthly beer bust at the Iron Bear. So they've got this constant thing. And the thing is this is very much more of a social thing. It's like, hey, we're going to be here. Come join us.
Yeah.
And just be like, whatever. It's not like it's a major planned event. They've got two planned events that they do each year. That's Back to the Woods, which I think is actually returning this year. I think they must have been off or something. And they have done what they refer to as an unrun, where it's like they say, we're going to be at this bar here, that this time they're going to be at the Chain Drive this day. We're going to be at the thing here. And like I even participated 1 year in their Mr. Hot Bear contest, Hot Bear Cub.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Slash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the Lone Star Bears is definitely a social group. In fact, let me actually read a little of their about page. The Lone Star Bears is an inclusive group of gay men. They're a member-driven social group dedicated to promoting friendship, brotherhood, and unity among all bears, cubs, chubs, and admirers, and all those who wish to share in the spirit of bear brotherhood. We seek to build bridges with other bear clubs and groups and throughout the community. As a member-driven social network, it is the individual members of the Lone Star Bears who conceive, plan, schedule, organize, promote, and host events, which are open to all members. And the thing is, you don't really sign up. There's no like dues or need to sign up for the Lone Star Bears. It's just, hey, you know what? We want to do some things, so we're going to organize some stuff and come join us and socialize and bring this bear brotherhood thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's their goal is to enjoy and share life with our friends and to have with mutual respect for others. I think they wrote that wrong, but
yeah,
but you get the idea. So I think mostly our groups, well, the Lone Star Bears is more of a loose thing. They've got their leaders and just people who organize stuff for them. But the Heart of Texas Bears has a president and stuff like that. But that's all more of to organize the events for being social with the other bears. It's not about, it's not a group. You don't.
Yeah.
Well, I think of the Heart of Texas Bears, you can join and be an actual member or something like that. But most of their stuff isn't members only or anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anybody can be there. So
and
I think bear groups, I think it's really is bear groups more than bear clubs. Because clubs seems more like an inclusive thing. You have to be invited. You have to be allowed in. Well, they're like, you don't have to be allowed in. If we're having an event, show up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying part of my issue and like one of the things like I said, that brought this up was that the group here doesn't really do any of that. They don't. I mean, they have their monthly potlucks or their monthly meetings. And other than that, I mean, the website, quote unquote, mentions that they do social outings, but I've never seen them there, you know, or anything like that. And I don't really get to these that much anymore because it's Wednesday nights. But it's one of those things where I got the impression that this group here in Cincinnati just does things on their own. Like they go to a person's house and have a meeting and then they eat and play and then they maybe socialize too. I'm just, you know, but that's really it. And I, not to knock the group here, I just feel like you could be doing more. And I wonder, since, you know, hearing about the Berg Bears and the Texas Bear, you know, groups, and I'm sure there are other groups in town. I'm sure there are other groups in across the country that tend to do more. And I'm wondering why this group doesn't do more. And if it's because of lack of interest or drama, which I'm thinking might be the case, then that's okay. But it then defeats the purpose of having this organization to begin with.
Yeah, I think it may be a regional thing and just people. The people in the area are more of, you know, I don't really want to organize anything, but we'll do this potluck every once in a while. You know, that way we can get together and socialize, but we're not really doing anything. Meanwhile, the people down here in Austin are like, hey, let's each month go have dinner. We will have breakfast. We'll have a bar night and a beer bus, et cetera, et cetera. And especially with the Iron Bear being our new latest premier bear bar, there used to be the Chain Drive. I'm not even sure what's going on with the Chain Drive, but the Iron Bear, which is actually not bad. It's a pretty nice bar. And it's just people are more inclined to do that. Of course, it could also be, and it could be attitude. That's just the Austin way. Keep Austin weird, man.
I will say this. I think it really is about the people. Your local community culture is a big piece of it. I know that the Berg Bears has ebbed and flowed over the years as far as the number of members and its activities. And some people have kind of, you know, commented about how things have changed one direction or another. And, you know, I have been involved with that club for a really long time, but I live 2 hours away. And at the time when I first joined the club, I had no bear community at all of any sort in Erie. And then it slowly has grown and manifested, but it's not really organized. It's not, in fact, it's questionable if it exists. But there are more people, more men that now feel that they can choose to apply the label or consider themselves somehow affiliated. And that's dynamically important, though. But I think the bigger thing is in regards to what's happening, Damon, you're talking about with your group is it's about leadership. That's really what it comes down to. It's about whether or not people want to be led. It's whether or not you have leaders and whether or not they're effective and good at what they do. And sometimes it takes a good, sparkling, outgoing personality to draw moths to the flame, so to speak, like for people to be engaged and involved. I'm a very analytical individual. So I'm not like the put on a show, you know, let me do a song and dance kind of individual. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people just have a good, really good personality that they're very easy and approachable, and they're always smiling and laughing, you know, and entertaining or engaging. I'm not necessarily that way. So I know that, like, you know, the personalities really drive people's interest in whether or not they connect and whether or not it makes sense. So I think, you know, to go back around to some of the things that we've been talking about, the existence of an organization, be it a club, a group, whatever it is, it serves a function and it serves a purpose. It sounds to me, Damon, your question is like, perhaps what they say they're going to do is not necessarily what they're doing, and they should adjust that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with changing with time to match that stuff.
Somebody else has to step up and take the lead.
Well, and that's true. I agree with you, Jeffrey. But the issue is that, and this is a bigger thing outside of the bear community, I think as a nation, we just lack people that are engaged. Mm-hmm. And that's like on so many different fronts. You know, people walk into traffic looking at their phone, not paying attention to the fact that there's like, you know, they're going to get hit.
But that's another show.
Well, but that's true. But
I get what you're saying.
The reality is that people need to be engaged, period, in their life. And if they stick their face into a computer screen or a monitor or a book or whatever, they're not being interactive with other people. So why do you think, like, you know, the current administration of the White House is about volunteerism and community outreach and involvement? Because it's lacking, period, whether it's the gay community, the bear community, or anything else. And I realize I sound like I'm getting on a soapbox, but that's part of, I think, a bigger issue that we see the effects of. And it ties back, like, to even to gay bars. I mean, I'm glad that the, you know, Austin has a new bar recently that's open, but in other cities, they're closing up. We had two in Erie. One of them just closed. They just sold because people don't go out. They don't engage. And it's really strange to me, that aspect, because we are different generations of individuals. I know it's been talked about for quite some time that the internet vastly changed the landscape, and, you know, and it's been the downfall of bars and people going out and all this different kind of stuff. I think that's true to a point, but then I think it begs a bigger question. Why? Why don't people want to go out? Why don't they want to get together? And when they do, why is it limited in its scope? You know, why is it when a group of guys, you know, in the bear community try to have a movie night, nobody shows up? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just so many. I think it's multifaceted. It's kind of like a kaleidoscope. And I don't know if there's really an answer one way or another. But I think if we don't engage in it, and if we don't care about it, then yeah, it'll definitely disappear and go away.
Definitely. And that's probably true. But I think that there might be something a while later that might resurrect it because of one thing or another. But that's beside. All right, let's move on. Good discussion. We got...
That's lovely. That would be a snowplow going past my place.
Snowplows. Gotta love it. Tumbles. Damon, what do you got?
So this one I titled Come Hither. And,
Damon, I can barely hear you. Hey, Gary, could you mute for a little bit?
There we go. Hold on. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So this one is called Come Hither. It is a beautiful, beautiful man leaning against the wall. There are several pictures, but the one that kind of caught my eye is the first one, which is why I'm calling it Come Hither, because he's naked. His are mostly naked, and his butt is uncovered, and the look on his face and the thumb in his mouth kind of gives this come here, I know what you want, so here it is. And yeah, super freaking sexy
ass to you.
Yes, here is my ass. Thank you. Nice. Yes, and it's a really beautiful ass, so yeah. Okay,
Gary, what do you got?
Hang on. Sorry. Well, because I had to go on mute and damn snowplow. I'm still trying to pull up what Damon had. Oh, well, hello there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Hello. Hello. Ah. He's, yeah, it's just the face is very nice, and everything else is just kind of icing on the cake.
That's a curvy man.
Uh-huh.
In all the right ways.
Agreed. Okay, so my Tumblr pick, I titled Timer App is Helpful because it's technically captioned a little longer. It says a timer app is helpful when you're single. And this gentleman did kind of put a filter on a photo. It's a selfie, only he used a timer app, and he's standing presumably in a living room or maybe bedroom in just a jockstrap. Uh-huh. And he's looking jockstrap. Yeah, he's looking right at the camera. Very short trimmed slash shaved head, and he's got nice body fur and nipple ring and uh-huh. that kind of stuff. I have to confess, because I don't want this to become an issue later, I do know this individual. But he doesn't post many pictures of himself. And it's not that he's shy, I think. He just necessarily doesn't. Oh, excuse that. I heard. And no, we have not been together.
No. Smart asses. You're like me. You're just a social whore. You tend to know a lot of people. Whore.
That being said, I have always thought that this gentleman is attractive, and so therefore I wanted to help promote him since he decided to post a picture of himself on Tumblr.
Nice.
And since he is single, who knows?
And where we that shall read off this one. Yes, we shall help indeed. Happy.
It's already got over 120 some notes or posts or whatever. So yeah, it's working.
Wow. Yeah.
Some people like it.
Yeah. He's definitely. Yeah. Definitely nice. Yes.
Definitely nice. Okay. And I've got the black version of that Under Armour jock strap.
Oh. Nice.
It's comfortable. Anyways. Moving on, we got some nicely framed asses. I'm just going to leave it there. Here.
They look like they've been having a party.
Oh, I have seen this picture. I really do like this. Mm-hmm. But I like it for a couple of reasons. I do agree with Jeffrey that those are some nice, meaty, beefy
butts.
Yeah, but they still look, you know, they've got the pouting that I like.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you, Damon, that there's definitely been some partying from the looks of it, because there are clothes strewn on the rooftop where they're standing, and there is 9 empty Jameson whiskey bottles.
Wait. Is that what they... No.
Yeah, whoa. They're Jameson.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There's got to been more people there or something.
But needless to say, the two gentlemen are looking off at the cityscape in the distance. One is pulling the left jockstrap band of the other one. They're both looking in the same direction. My presumption is they both have more Jameson on the rocks in their hands that you can't see. And all the clothes are on the ground. Yeah.
One, two. Oh, there's some more in the background there that I missed.
There's one that has a jockstrap on top of it. So, yes, there is at least a third person, I hope.
Probably the one that took the picture.
Yeah.
Needless to say, nicely framed asses. I like those asses. I could just dive into those asses in so many different ways.
Yeah. Like, hello. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Moving on into the links. Gary.
So recently, I got reacquainted with an artist that I have been a long time fan of. In fact, for quite some time, I was dubbed that I was an unofficial lesbian because of the number of lesbians that I knew that I hung out with, and that type of stuff. That being said, Melissa Etheridge has a new single called Uprising of Love, and the official video was posted in the past week or 2 weeks. And I have always been a big fan of Melissa Etheridge. I especially love when she gets political, like with a rock anthem, and which is exactly what this is. It's in response to the fact that across the globe, and even in our own home country, that there are communities that are struggling with being yourself and having equality. So she created this song and called it Uprising of Love. And it's exactly that. It's it reminds me a bit of when she did the song for Matthew Shepard. Mm-hmm. And about every other album, it seems like there's just a political kind of touchstone that really kind of gets on her nerve or whatever. And then she comes up with something. And in this case, it's actually part of a campaign piece. So I don't know. I really like listening to it. And so I wanted to help promote it.
Nice.
And no, I'm not getting paid for it. I don't give a shit. So
this is your own personal opinion.
Damn Skippy.
Okay.
So first off, have you guys seen my link?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Okay. Fuzzbutt made me do it.
I think the word made is interesting. Because when someone makes a statement like, well, they made me do it, my smart ass mind's like, oh, so they threatened your life and you had to do it?
No, but so we were talking about some stuff, which I'm leaving alone.
Okay.
But we were talking about the episode or something, and he said something like, I'm looking forward to it. And I go, Slashdance. And he goes, I want to see, because it's got to be adorable. And I'm like, what? He goes, you dance. And I'm like, maybe I'll make a YouTube video sometime. What music should I dance to, though? And we go in talking a little bit about music. Needless to say, I didn't use anything that he suggested. And just for some reason, I did a video. And nice. I'm sharing it with the world. I call it For Matt Fuzzbutt. And it's on my YouTube page, youtube.com/boxpuppy. Nice. So you can take a look at it. It's completely G-rated. It's using the garbage song Automatic Systematic Habit. And it's me. Well, what did you guys think of it?
Dancing.
And don't go try and be like, oh, it was nice. It was fine. It was okay. I want your honest to God opinions. Because right now I feel like I made a fool of myself.
Oh, my God. See, that's the thing. You want honest. It was intriguing, odd, weird, because I kind of know you. And it was just like, I don't know if I want to watch this. It was kind of like, because it's just that awkward moment where you're watching a friend kind of get into something and they're really enjoying it. And you're kind of like, should I be watching you right now? I guess I'm going to have to.
Oh, for God's sakes, I sent you the link. So, of course.
I saw it. I looked at it. I didn't have to, but I was just like, I could have not looked at it, but I chose to look at it.
Well, it's funny because, David, what you're saying kind of reminds me of like when I accidentally, like on Tumblr, come across pictures or porn of people I know personally, and I'm kind of like, okay, well. Like, I get very conflicted about it because I'm like, that's kind of intimate. Like, I just had this discussion with a friend of mine. We talked about this very fact. I said, you know, it's funny. I said, because when you're looking at all these pictures on Tumblr, let's say, and if you happen to see some video clips and you don't know the people, you don't think twice about it because you don't know them. You're just kind of like, oh, that's hot, or he's hot, or whatever it is. But for me, then when I see people that I know, I'm kind of like, oh, should I really be watching this? I don't know. Like, is it an invasion of privacy? Do I need to see them like this? Do they want me to see them like this? Like, like all these questions kind of come up, and it sounds similar or parallel because Damon's like, but – well, okay, so we know Jeffrey. Should we watch? I guess we should watch. He sent us the link, but like, you know, it's personal, and so it's also revealing for me.
This is so not personal.
Well, no, it is in a way. I mean, you might not feel the way, but I think it is because it's a slice of a day, of a moment, of a day in your life, and you decided to share that with others. And I guess because I've been called on it recently by a bunch of people, I'm kind of a bit private and difficult to understand, like, my tastes and my interest or certain things. You know, and so I don't, you know, I hold my cards close to my chest, I guess, in comparison. So I don't really put a lot out into the world about the intimacies of my life. And so you may not necessarily think that this is an intimacy of your life. And in one way, I do think it is, but that's only because if you hadn't done it, we wouldn't have known about it. So that's kind of where I come from with that. And in response to the comment that was made, a very old friend of mine taught me when I first came into the bear community, he actually gave me a quote and said, just because something might be embarrassing isn't good enough reason not to do it. And while I have yet to learn that lesson, I think of that, and especially in moments like this, because I was proud of the fact that you did it, because I don't know if I would. Mm-hmm. And so I think that takes a certain level of bravery to be willing to do something when others won't. And that's – I mean, that goes across the board in so many different directions. But that's where I was kind of like – like, I make jokes at times, like when I get really happy about something, like I'll actually write Snoopy Dance, which is a cultural like reference point. So anybody who's ever seen the Peanuts animated cartoons knows what Snoopy looks like when he dances. And I've been called on it a couple times. People are like, oh my God, I bet that's adorable when you do it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not showing it. Like, like, you know, like it's just, it's kind of one of those things that I don't know. Like, there are just certain things that are very personal or kind of nuances of who you are. And so when people open up and reveal that, I think that's awesome. And that they do that. I guess I come from a place of I would not necessarily do such a thing.
I think one of the reasons why I actually did it. One, I think I was kind of bored. But I think the original thought was going to be like, oh, I can video record myself doing a little dance for him. And, you know, just my normal shake my butt, like, ooh, yay, slash dance sort of thing. And then I'm like, no, let's put some music to it. And I was just like, okay, all I need to do, start the song, dance to it, and play toward the camera a little. Because if anybody doesn't notice, I'm actually lip syncing the song. And just let it go. Who cares? And yeah, it was all worth it, mainly because Matt then said, that's so freaking delightful. So adorable.
So. I guess I look at it this way, as someone recently revealed to me that I have control issues, which is kind of been a long-term running joke. But when someone said to me very seriously in a certain moment, you really like have this thing about power play, that like you are in control of things about your life, like how people see you, how people talk about you, like, which is impossible. But that being said, it kind of occurred to me that there's a freedom that you get when you just do things and you kind of don't care about it. And by that, I mean, like, if I was to do something like what you did, Jeff, I probably would have done it several times. Like, I would have probably not allowed one take. I probably would have done it, I don't know, a handful of times and then picked the one I liked best, mm-hmm. because I thought that was the one that best represents me or whatever like that. And that's what I mean by, like, that's how dynamically different we are, because I, you know.
Well, I also am thinking along the lines of the dynamic of YouTube. I just do it, post it, because you know what? That's what a YouTube video is most of the time. It's more about the just you know, putting something out there and editing. What's that? You know, it's the somebody was taking a video with their camera phone and they've got their son riding their bike and he falls over because he tripped over a banana peel. I don't know. Anyways, so I think that's just the dynamic of YouTube. And that's why I did it. I was like, one take, put it up. And plus, I was kind of in a hurry because I wanted him to see it before he had to go somewhere or something.
Right.
So Fuzzbutt made me do it because he asked for it.
Well, and maybe you'll start something new. Maybe our listeners will take videos of themselves dancing in their living rooms and send them in.
Hey, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Damon.
So go see my video, see how silly it is, and then do the same thing. Basically, just if you can record some video from your computer, from a webcam or something, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just point it at you, play some music in the background, and dance.
And it does not have to be pornographic.
No. We're not looking for pornography. We were looking for, although pornographic wouldn't be too bad.
How about
striptease?
PG-13.
No. Let's do this. Let's just to kind of make this nice. Something you can put on YouTube.
Ah, okay? There you
not
go.
Not XTube, YouTube. So now, if it ends up, we end up getting a link to something in XTube.
Oh, we'll watch it.
We'll watch it.
Damon, oh, we'll watch it.
One thing I personally recommend and what I prefer on these sort of things is make sure when you do post anything that you have music, especially an entire song like my video had, you completely credit the music. So like right. I said, Dancing to Automatic Systematic Habit by Garbage. One thing that YouTube did, and maybe it's just I have certain settings, is they automatically created a link to Google Play, Amazon MP3, iTunes, eMusic, listed the artists and everything so that they basically were like, oh, that's the song? Well, here's a link to the song so people can purchase it. So it's very important that we support our musicians that make these music so they can
continue doing that. For us to dance around to in
our skivvies. Now, the nice thing about this is that the quality is not that great. So if you want Automatic Systematic Habit, for God's sakes, just go to iTunes and download it, man. Go get the actual CD. You know, it's this disc. It's about 5 inches across. And put it into something called a CD player. Your DVD or Blu-ray players can usually have a thing to play those. So I know it's old technology. Anyways, that's it. That's the end of the show. There's plenty of ways to contact us. Pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. You can see the videos that we were talking about there and links to our Tumblr posts. But you can also find our Tumblr posts over at cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. You can shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook. Leave a comment on our page at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google.com/+cubsoutloud. Again, join us in the Bear Underground. Sorry.
Oh, my.
And join our group. And again, talk there. It doesn't even have to be anything necessarily related to the show. Don't get us wrong. If it's on there, it's fodder for the show. Anyways, find me anywhere on the internet as Boxstack, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box something or other.
Theater Cub 79 and on Bear 401, Bear Underground, and Tumblr.
I could be found as GearBear 73, any place that I have an account that I want to be found. Also, I want to give a quick shout out in recognition. I want to congratulate and thank the 619 Bearcast from San Diego on 5.5 years. They recently recorded their last episode. And wrapped up. They keep saying hiatus, but for all intents and purposes, they're done. And they actually started because of BTalk in Minneapolis, who was one of the first podcasts I ever listened to. And so I credit both BTalk and 619 Bearcast for my interest in podcasting and then eventually coming and joining Cubs Out Loud. So to Brian, JP, Justin, and Dave, and even Vito, who started originally, thank you guys so much for all that you've done. And I hope that other new podcasts come along to keep us all connected.
Yay. Let's broaden the bear community. By the way, if you want to do another COL type of podcast, such as COL movies or COL something or other, please let me know and we'll see what we can do. Anyways,
cool.
Because I like doing podcasts. And I only do this once a week for a couple hours. But with that, all I can say is bye bye, snowplow. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
See you later. Speaking of Hadrian, did you guys see the Venice Cub video on Tumblr that I reblogged?
No. Wait, when did you reblog it? Hold on.
Today.
Oh.
Was it the video where the guy in the jockstrap?
Yes.
I think I saw that one. I was playing it earlier. I didn't know you reblogged it.
I don't know how old it is. Like, I don't know if it's recent or not or... or any of that stuff. But knowing that some people have an affinity for Venice Cub, I thought I'd mention that.
Point it out that
I need to look at it now. I got to find your freaking...
You know,
are you Care Bear 7-3?
Yes.
Let me say this. Because he's done a couple of videos in that position where it's like straight on, the bottom's on his hands and knees, and he's just fucking from behind. For some reason, I want to do that.
To him,
like on land.
Oh, Venice Cub fucking somebody. Oh, okay, yeah, I've seen that video before.
Wow, that wasn't dismissive.
I've seen at least.
Shut up, Gary.
But I'm serious. It's like I want to be the bottom in the video.
Oh wow, you want to be the bottom?
Yeah.
With Venice?
Yeah.
Ah, well, there you go.
I think I'm still recording.
Nice.
I might cut that out for our ending.
Yeah.